Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all levels of professional baseball to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, the Tool Shed podcast has you covered with rankings, player analysis, and in-depth discussion. And now, here's your host, Eric Cross.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed Podcast, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 426. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Eric Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EricCrossMLB, and the show is at Tool Shed Pod. Starting my 2026 Prospect and Dynasty Rankings episode series today. Love doing these every single year. It's fun to break them all down. I got plenty of guests lined up over the next 2 months. Be going prospects and dynasty for each position. Some of the bigger positions, like, you know, outfield, pitcher, etc., might have even more episodes. That way I'm not trying to rush through all the rankings. Get a lot of player discussion, a lot of rankings breakdown, some debates, and plenty of great guests along the way to break it all down with me. Starting with catcher prospect today. Do not have a guest this episode. This one's, you know, just me rolling solo, but not many other episodes throughout the entire series that will be just me. But today, you get me, but catcher prospects are really fun to talk about, actually. You know, this position, both at the major league level and the minor league level, has been, you know, on the rise the last half decade or so. It's no longer a boring position. Plenty of young talent, some that's already debuted, that I'll get to in the Dynasty episode later this week. And still plenty of more talent along the way. But before we get into all of that, the usual housekeeping. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. You can find all of my content either on Rotoballer or over on my Patreon, toolshedfantasy.com. And make sure you check out all of the great content over on Rotoballer with Rotoballer's Premium Pass. Gain access to expert tools and advice from proven winners, including TeamSync, Lineup Assistant Tools, Free Agent Finder, Prop Picks, and the number one DFS Lineup Optimizer. Our Premium Pass comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Just go to rotoballer.com/radio and use the discount code TOOLSHED to get 10% off at checkout. All right, let's start with, you know, I'm going to do like little clumps here of the rankings, but let's start with the top five, going Samuel Basayo, Josue Briseño, Rainio Rodriguez, Carter Jensen, and Moises Ballesteros in that five spots. Let's see what three of those guys have already debuted. Basayo, Jensen, Ballesteros all debuted last season. Briseño probably does later in 2026. Rodriguez is still another year or two after that, probably more 2027 or even 2028 debut for Rodriguez, but plenty of talent there. All five of those guys are inside my top 60, with three inside the top 30. So let's start right at the top with Samuel Basayo. You obviously got a little bit of a cup of coffee with the big club this past year and tore up AAA before he got his debut. 118 plate appearances with Baltimore, four home runs, only a 165, 229, 330 slash line, but hard to take much from a 118 plate appearance sample size for a guy that just debuted, you know, in the major leagues. I mean, rookie first stint in the majors, I'm not going to be, you know, too mad about that or hold that against him. But in the minor leagues, again, he did, you know, everything you'd want from a future star catcher, just absolutely raking. 23 bombs, 17 doubles in 76 games for AAA Norfolk. 270, 377, 589 slash line. Put up some of the best quality of contact metrics in the minor leagues. 94 mile an hour average exit velocity, 57.5% hard hit rate, and a 21% barrel rate. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that Basayo could be a 30-homer bat at the catcher spot. No doubt in my mind. Do I think he stays behind the plate? That's the question. And you could have that question with, you know, at least half of these guys for some reason or another, whether it be their defensive metrics or just who else is behind the plate in that organization. Now, we know in Baltimore, they already have Adley Rutschman there. So do we see more of Bisaio at DH this year? We are thinking maybe some first base, but then they just signed Pete Alonso. So you can't imagine that Bisaio gets many reps at first base. Maybe he still gets enough at catcher to, you know, as Adley's backup to maintain eligibility there. But I feel like in 2026, at least, you see the lion's share of Bisaio's reps coming at the DH spot. But for now, he'll retain catcher eligibility. We'll see about 2027 and beyond. But regardless of if it's first base, catcher, DH, some variation or combination of those three positions, this is a potential 30-homer bat, elite quality of contact. I do kind of wonder if the batting average is, you know, like more in the 250 to 260 range than like 270, 280. Zone contact was just around 82%, which is fine. Overall contact was a tick below 70%. So you kind of got to wonder if, you know, the average is not super high, but I don't, you know, I'm not concerned that it's going to be like super low either. I don't think it's going to be 220, 230, anything like that. You know, even if it's 250, 260, if you're getting 25, 30 plus home runs from Bisaio, that's still a very valuable player, and especially from the catcher spot. Like, that's a top five catcher, you know, with the upside for more. You know, maybe he does hit 270 with 35 and he's, you know, one of the top two or three catchers for fantasy baseball purposes. That's the upside we're talking about with Bisaio. That's why he's my number one guy right now. That's why he's the number one guy for, I think, basically everybody that does rankings, whether it's individually, you know, or the bigger outlets, you know, like Baseball America, Pipeline, etc. I think it's pretty universal that Bisaio is the number one catching prospect in the game, whether it's real life or fantasy-focused rankings, which obviously mine are. And right now I have him at number 11 overall in my top 500 for prospect rankings. And definitely number one overall for me at this position. But then after that, I think there's a good debate for who could be number two. And I think that the two candidates, and maybe even a third, you can loop into this. I think the two main candidates are Josue Briseño and Raniel Rodriguez. And I bet you'd see some people throw Carter Jensen in that mix as well. He's my number four, but I did recently move him up in my rankings because I realized I ranked him too low. Yeah, I 100% admit that. You know, he had a phenomenal, you know, 2025 from start to finish. I'll get to him in a second, though. I did put a poll up, you know, from the Toolshed Twitter account, which is still going on. It'll still be going on until sometime in the early evening of Monday. But as of now, I just simply asked, which catching prospect will be the best for fantasy baseball long-term between Raniel Rodriguez and Josue Briseño? Right now, 50.6% for Briseño, 49.4% for Rodriguez. So it's pretty split right now. You got a lot of Rodriguez supporters out there after the year he just had. You're looking at 20 home runs in 368 plate appearances between the complex level, low A, and then four games in high A. So all those home runs came in complex or low A, but did get up to high A as an 18-year-old. Very impressive there. 276, 399, 555 slash line for Rodriguez, 162 WRC plus, 14.7% walk rate, 17.7% strikeout rate. You know, he's gotten this high for a reason. I mean, the power, I mean, the quality of contact doesn't wow you right now, but you see the upside with the power metrics for him. I mean, right now he's already above average to plus raw power, you know, for his age. And I think you could see that tick up even further, you know, as he matures and, you know, kind of maybe even gains a little bit of bulk. I think there's a chance for him to add a little bit of bulk, not a ton of projection, but I do think he could add another 5 to 10 pounds of muscle there. And like Bisaio, I think there's a chance he's a 30 homer bat in the majors as well. And the contact skills are pretty solid. You know, not great, but, you know, he was around 73, 74% overall contact this year. It did tick down a little bit as he got the high A. But again, that was only, you know, very small sample size. It was around 77% in low A with a swing and strike rate just below 10%. So if he's, you know, let's say 50 grade hit tool is, you know, for contact skills with a good approach, you know, as you, I just said, you know, fairly good swinging strike rate in low A, you know, overall that walk rate, nearly a 15% walk rate and K rate under 20%, all while facing competition much older than him. So you could say above average to plus approach to go with, you know, decent contact skills and potentially plus power. So there's plenty of upside here with Rainier Rodriguez. Now, the reason why he's number three instead of number two for me, you know, obviously I love my number two in Briseño. I've been big on him for a bit now. But, you know, Rodriguez is still a bit further away. Briseño a little more proven. So that's why I go Briseño myself. But they're close in my rankings. I mean, we're talking about they're six spots apart currently in my rankings overall. Briseño's at 21, Rodriguez is at 27. So both in that 20 to 30 range, both in the same tier, and you can't go wrong either way. But Briseño will be up, you know, a year to year and a half or so sooner, as he's been up to double A. You know, this year he kind of had the best year all around of his professional career. It was limited in 2023 and 2024, you know, due to injuries. He only played in 40 games in 2024, but in 2025, between high A and double A, nearly split between those two levels. Overall slash 266, 383, 500, 20 home runs, and a 16.8%, excuse me, that was in 16.8% was in high A, 14.9% overall walk rate, 19.7% strikeout rate. You know, when you look at the combination of contact, approach, and power, I can make an argument that no catching prospect, including Sammy Basayo, has the overall blend of those three tools that Briseño has. I mean, he's always been above average contact. It was around 76% in 2023. 2024 was up over 80%. And this past year, right around 76% again. And, you know, pretty similar contact rates between high A and double A. So that's why, you know, you see the overall slash line did tick down in double A, only 232. 335, 381, you know, but he still had a 12.6% walk rate, 23.7% K rate is not bad, and still had the good contact skills. So I'm not, you know, dinging him too much for that. You know, he hits the ball in the air pretty consistently, you know, healthy fly ball rate, healthy line drive rate, you know, pull rate right around, you know, upper 30s, around 40%, hits the ball at pretty solid angles. This is a plus power bat. This is an above-average contact bat, an above-average approach guy. You know, obviously, he's not going to give you any speed, you know, and he might be more so of a first baseman long-term. He was pretty split there in terms of games played last year. So I still, you know, I'm not 100% sure where he ends up long-term, but, you know, he could be a little bit of both, you know, because right now Torkelson's at first. You got Dylan Dingler at catcher, so it's not like there's a glaring opening at either of those spots. So maybe it's similar to Basayo, where there's, you know, more so some DH reps opening, you know, his career in the major leagues, which again should probably be later on in 2026, probably the summer, because he got up to double A for 45 games last year. So I imagine if he does start in double A again next year, it wouldn't be for long, maybe even starts triple A. So sometime around the summer, around the All-Star break, I feel it's pretty realistic for a debut for Briseño. I think he's a 25 homer bat long term. I think this is a guy that's a hit for a decent average and a good OBP as well. I am very high on Briseño. You know, loved him ever since I saw him out in the AFL a couple years ago. Saw him in double A this past year as well. You know, very high on the bat of Briseño, and the metrics really back it up. Again, contact, approach, power, it's all there for Briseño. So that's why I have him so high. Nearly top 20 in my rankings overall. And I think I'm probably one of the higher analysts on Briseño at this point. But hey, he's deserved a high ranking. I mean, everything I've seen from him just is just phenomenal from Jose Briseño. So he's my number two. And then the guy that you can give, you know, a chance to be in that number two overall discussion behind Basayo is Carter Jensen. He just hit the crap out of the ball for the entire year. had a fun little debut with the Royals this year. 20 games, 69 plate appearances, 300, 391, 550 slash line, three home runs in that span. Walked at a 13% clip, only struck out 17.5% of the time. This coming after, you know, an equally as impressive stint in AAA. 290, 377, 501, 20 home runs, 10 steals in 111 games with a 12.2% walk rate and a 24.8% strikeout rate. Contact skills, you know, zone was a little bit above average. He was around 84% in zone. You know, overall was a tick below 70%. That's a little bit of a concern there. Not major concern, though. That's not terrible by any means. And when you look at the quality of contact he has, I mean, it is phenomenal. I mean, it wasn't quite Roman Anthony, you know, Nick Kurtz, Pasaio levels in AAA, but really good, you know, overall. 94 mile an hour average EV, 59% hard hit rate, and a 15% barrel rate. I mean, he actually was pretty much on par with those guys in EV and hard hit. Barrel rate, they were more so in like that 20, 21% range, or at least the high teens. So, you know, a few percentage points below in barrel rate. But, hey, those are nothing to scoff at. Those are elite metrics, you know, and contact skills, fine. And, you know, again, I do wonder, you know, the overall contact, a little low, but doesn't strike out a ton. I mean, he's always kind of been in that, you know, mid 20% range, give or take. It did tick up to 28.3% in AAA in 43 games. We also walked at a 16.3% clip. So he got on base at a 404% clip in AAA. Overall last year, 24.8% K rate in the minors. You know, but it's never been like 30% or anything like that. So I'm not terribly concerned. You know, maybe he's more 260 than 280. But again, contact skills are not terrible. It's elite quality of contact. And the other little wrinkle with Carter Jensen, he runs a little bit. I mean, you can never really count on catchers to give you much speed, but sometimes, you know, even this like 5-8, just a nice little cherry on top of the sundae, so to speak. He had 10 steals last year in 111 games, 17 in 2024 in 125 games, 11 in 2023 in 116 games, and 8 in 2022 in 113 games. So he's always been, you know, he's been between what, 8 and 17 in each of his four full minor league seasons. Go with a good OBP, you know, I think solid average as well. You know, I was definitely too low on him, and I've corrected that. I could even push him higher. Right now I have him around 50 overall. I might even push them higher now that I'm kind of looking at, you know, his stats again. I mean, I've been digging through catchers for a bit now, but I might even push him higher than that because, again, there's no glaring red flag. There are some minor concerns here and there, but nothing, again, that's too concerning. And just the quality of contact, add a little bit of, you know, handful of steals in there, good OBP. I mean, I think Carter Jensen's going to be a really good catcher for a long time and could be hitting, you know, somewhere in the middle of that Kansas City order. Maybe even in like that five spot or so, like behind Witt and Vinny P and Mikel Garcia and all them. So good spot to be in. That's actually a pretty decent lineup there assembling there in Kansas City, especially if Jack Caglione, you know, kind of takes that next step and becomes a, you know, fearful slugger. They could have a really good, maybe even a top 10 offense in Kansas City. And I think Jensen could be right in the middle of that. So he's my number four guy right now, but you can make a case for him as high as two at this position. I think you really can. All right, and in that five spot, running up these top five, Moises Ballesteros with the Chicago Cubs. He's been one that has been pretty, I won't say tough for me to rank, but I feel like my ranking on him has fluctuated a bit more than I'd say it was for most guys because I don't know where he fits in to the Cubs kind of long, like the long-term picture for the Cubs. You know, they're another team that doesn't have an opening at catcher. You know, they had a couple of decent catchers last year in Miguel Amaya and why am I blanking on the Cubs' other catcher from last year? The old Carson Kelly. Jeez, I was complete brain cramp on that. But, you know, so there's no opening right now for Ballesteros. maybe he can get some time at DH, but you know, I don't know if the Cubs are going to bring in anybody else right now. I guess he could be penciled into that DH spot, but do they want to see a Suzuki in the outfield full time? That'd be kind of the move that would have to happen. So, and do they want to give Owen Casey some time at DH? There's a lot of moving parts here, so I just don't know if, you know, he's going to be a full-time guy to start the 2026 season, but it's a really solid bat for Ballesteros. He was in AAA for the entirety of his minor league tenure in 2025. 316, 385, 473 slash line, 13 home runs, a 9.6% walk rate, and a 13.2% strikeout rate. Ran a contact rate just a hair under 80% overall. Doesn't have the power, you know, the power of the guys I've already kind of talked about, but especially like Carter Jensen, but you know, above average power, 90.2 mile an hour average exit velocity, and a 43% hard hit rate. Barrel rate was a little bit on the lower side, you know, just over 6%, because he did have a ground ball rate right around 50% in AAA. You know, so love to see him get that ground ball right down a bit. As long term, I do think he might have a higher average floor than probably all of these guys we've talked about. I think him and Briseño are close in that regard. But if you told me that one of these five would have a season where they hit 290, I would probably, if I had to put my money on one guy, I'd probably go Ballesteros just before I'd go Briseño. But more, he's probably more of a 20 homer guy, upper teens, low 20s. You know, but like a 270-20 type of guy, that's still, I mean, if that has a catcher tag, you know, with it, that's still very valuable. I mean, that's still a solid hitter regardless of the position, but obviously we'd love to have catcher eligibility there with Ballesteros, but just doesn't quite have the upside, and wondering was where he fits into the Cubs' long-term plans. So that's why I don't have him higher, but still fifth overall, still inside my top 60 for my catcher overall prospect rankings, I should say. So top five, Basayo, Briseño, Rodriguez, Jensen, and Ballesteros. Going 6 through 10 now, we got Alfredo Duno with the Cincinnati Reds. He could do no wrong at near the end of the season last year. Okay, that's the last time I'm going to use that joke. I'm sorry. I had to do it one more time. Ike Irish is in the 7th spot, just drafted by the Baltimore Orioles this past summer. Eduardo Tait in the 8th spot with the Minnesota Twins. The recently traded Harry Ford in the 9th spot, now with the Nationals. And then a massive, colossal drop-off in my rankings. Nearly 100 spots from Ford down to the next tier, which really only is a two-person tier. So I'll kind of group those two guys together because they both play on the same team, or the same organization, I should say. Marco Dingus with the Brewers, and Jefferson Cairo also with the Brewers. All right, we'll start with Duno. Like I said, he was really, really good down the stretch this past season, and plenty of potential there. And then when you look at the, you know, future home ballpark as well, you get really excited because this bat, the upside with the bat here at Great American Ballpark is really exciting to kind of project. You know, and he's still a little bit away. You know, probably not going to be up this upcoming year. I would be highly, you know, I'd highly doubt that. But, you know, maybe second half of 2027, I think you could see him debut. And, you know, he had a couple really big months, especially in the second half, like August especially, and then a few games in September. I mean, he hit 338, 490, 700 in August with 8 doubles, 7 home runs in 25 games, and then 3 more home runs in 4 games in September. And look at the walk to strikeout ratio. I mean, overall for the season it was great, but 24 walks to 11 strikeouts in August, and then 4-3 in September. So combine those 2 months, 28 walks to 14 strikeouts. So twice as many walks as strikeouts there. You know, but overall it was still like, though I don't want to overshadow the rest of the season, which was, because the overall season was good. It was a 287, 430, 518 slash line, 18 home runs in 113 games in low A, and more walks than strikeouts overall, 19.2% walk rate, to an 18.4% strikeout rate. So, yeah, a lot of good overall there offensively on the surface. And there's plenty to get excited about under the hood as well. I mean, I already mentioned the really good approach there. Power, really impressive as well. 91-mile-an-hour average exit velocity, 48.5% hard hit rate, 14.5% barrel rate. For a guy, you know, 19-year-old kid in low A, that is really, really impressive quality of contact right there. Contact skills, you know, are a little on the lower side. Again, similar to some others I talked about where it's not in a concerning level, but that is the area, you know, of possible concern moving forward. You know, for Duno, he had a contact rate of around 68% this year. So you have to see him clean that up a little bit, but at the same time, I would be more concerned about that if it came with like a 27%+ K rate. It does not. Sub 20% K rate, more walks than strikeouts. So this is a plus or better approach overall. It's plus, maybe even potentially double plus raw power in the profile as well. So a lot of good here with Alfredo Duno. And then again, that home ballpark, love that, you know, moving forward. So Duno has a chance to be, I mean, if you told me, let's fast forward a year and Duno is the new number one catching prospect in baseball for fantasy purposes, I wouldn't scoff at that. I mean, he'd have to get up and surpass Raniel Rodriguez, but Pasayo should graduate. Samuel might graduate. Jensen should graduate. Ballesteros should graduate. So that's already four of the five ahead of him graduating. So that's just Rodriguez left in front of him. And maybe a few of these guys behind him could get up there as well. But I think there is a future where Duno is the new number one catching prospect. I think he could surpass Rodriguez. The upside is there. And obviously, we'll see how the next 12 months unfolds for each of these guys. But plenty of potential with Alfredo Duno. Love that bat a lot. It could be a 25-30 homer bat in Great American Ballpark. So he's my number six guy at this catcher position. Ike Irish is a guy in the seven spot where I absolutely, love the bat more and more every time I kind of dug into him. This is back during, when I was doing my FYPD rankings, I started out, thinking, all right, if he's just a catcher, I'm not sure if I want to rank him super high. I think people know in my rankings that catchers for fantasy focused rankings like mine are, maybe you get dinged a little bit, not a huge ding, but just a little ding, like a door ding in a parking lot, not like a huge dent. But I don't believe he's going to be catcher long term. So the more I kind of thought about that, read some of the reports, and then especially with the organization he landed with, now I am pretty sure he's not going to be catcher. Even though they drafted him, they still said catcher. He played some catcher, this year after the draft, catcher, first base, corner, outfield, all those avenues are still pretty wide open right now. But regardless of where he ends up, and right now I am still including him as catcher because, he's still kind of eligible there, so to speak. But long term, I don't care what the position is. I'd love to have catcher for Ike Irish, but even if he's first base, outfield, or a combination of those two, I'm going to be very high on the bat as well. Because the bat, it's plus power, it's plus approach, and it's solid contact. It's above average contact, and he runs a bit. I mean, far from a burner. I don't take that as me saying he's, above average speed or anything. Now he's fringe average speed, but did steal 11 bags in 55 games for Auburn last year in his final year there. Three bags in 20 games in low A after the draft. Had a contact rate damn near 80% after the draft. Almost as many walks as strikeouts his final year at Auburn. So I think there's a potential to hit for a good average with a good OBP, keeps that K rate in check, and an above average to plus power bat that could give you maybe 5 to 10 steals as well. And I think there'd be a better chance of that being 10 as opposed to 5 steals or so if he is out from behind the plate primarily. We'll see how that transpires. I want to see kind of how they use him defensively in 2026. And I think I could see him second half of the year up in double A. I assume he'll start probably in high A in the beginning of 2026. So I might get some live looks later in the season. But yeah, I'm just really enamored with the bat of Ike Irish. I think I had him higher than most in FYPD rankings. Like, I had him as a no doubt top 10 guy. I don't think many did. I think he's probably more, you know, not like terribly far off, but more like probably 12, 13 range, if I had to guess. You know, if you looked at like FYPD ADP, I think I was probably one of the higher on him. You know, him and Ethan Conrad from the Cubs, two collegiate bats I really liked in this past draft. And then him landing in Baltimore, just another, you know, positive for the profile. So Ike Irish, I think, is a huge, huge target for me, whether it be FYPD or just in general. I would look to get him now. I think that price tag is going to jump up a good bit in 2026. He could be in the running for a number one catcher, too, if he's still a catcher by that point in time. I mean, he could be the one that jumps up in the top 25, top 30 overall in fantasy focus rankings. Very, very high on Ike Irish. Next name here was one of the bigger prospect names available, you know, or available that were traded during the trade deadline period this year, going from Philly to Minnesota. And that's Eduardo Tait. You know, overall 253, 311, 427 slash line this year in 112 games between low A and high A, 486 plate appearances. Did have 14 home runs and 32 doubles. You know, no steals for Tait this year. Did have five in the previous season, but none. So he's not going to be a guy, you know, like Irish. I might give you a handful of steals. He relies solely on the bats and power, especially. This is a potential plus power bat. He's still kind of growing into his power, but he's already given us glimpses of the power potential that he has. I mean, extra base hit machine already. 47 extra base hits, you know, as a 19-year-old this past year, who actually spent a good chunk of the season as an 18-year-old. He didn't turn 19 till late August, so most of the season at age 18 and already showing pretty impressive power metrics. You know, contact skills aren't bad either. I mean, I think people look at the power first and foremost and look at the average, like, oh, it was like 253. That's not something that's, you know, jumps off the page at you. You know, but overall contact this year was around 76%. You know, swing and strike rate, you know, about 12.5%. That's not terrible by any means. So contact skills are pretty good. It's just he is more aggressive than most of the, you know, other guys ahead of him. You know, walk rate was 7.5%. That's not terrible. Not really that good either. That's below average. But, you know, not a lot of strikeouts. So K rate was right around 20%, just over 20% while facing, you know, mostly older competition. So you still got to like that. So he's one that I think is a pretty solid value target right now, because I think, you know, looking at just the surface stats, like, again, that slash line, it's okay. Doesn't give you that warm and fuzzy feeling inside. So, you know, I think he might have the perceived value remain in check entering 2026. He's the one that I think could take a jump this year as well. Maybe not to that top, you know, tier one level at this catcher position for prospects, but I think tier two. I think he could be a guy that's ranked like in the 40 to 50 range near the end of the season. It was a good get for Minnesota. Love the potential here with Tait, especially if he continues showing that good blend of contact and power. Just want to see him kind of clean up the approach, maybe be, you know, a little more passive, wait for pitches to drive. That could also help the power long-term and get that walk rate up a little bit. But still plenty to like here in the young 19-year-old profile of Eduardo Tait. So he is, what is that, number 8 in my rankings. Harry Ford here at number 9. He's kind of the last of this, like the real top catching prospects. As I mentioned, it falls off hard to the Milwaukee duo. Ford right now is right around 100 overall, and then the Milwaukee duo is in like the 180 to 190 range overall in my prospect rankings. And as we, you know, if you've been paying attention to the hot stove, Harry Ford in the news here, you know, for being traded to the Washington Nationals in the Jose Ferrer trade, you know, what's it, about a week ago at this point. And my first, you know, my initial reaction to the trade was I was just excited that Ford has a chance to really start much sooner now because he is no longer behind the shadow of Big Dumper. You know, Big Dumper cast a big shadow there in Seattle. That forward, you know, was probably not going to get out from behind outside of a position change or an injury to Cal Raleigh. But now that he's in Washington, it says Kiber Ruiz there, and much easier to overtake him. Ruiz has been very, you know, underwhelming in the major leagues outside of a, you know, decent stint here and there, but definitely no Cal Raleigh, that's for sure. And Ford, you know, while the prospect shine has dimmed a little bit on him, he only had 7 steals last year after, you know, stealing a bunch of bags in previous seasons. It was still a good season. In 458 plate appearances in AAA, 283, 408, 460 slash line, had 16 home runs, 83% zone contact, 77% overall contact. You know, great approach as he always has had. 16.2% walk rate, 19.2% K rate, and still has, you know, decent power. I think power is not a huge part of his game, but I do think there's power there to be like a 15 homer bat. It was a 42% hard hit rate and an 8.7% barrel rate in AAA last season. Then he got a cup of coffee with the Mariners late in the season, you know. But even if he's only like a, you know, low to mid teens home run guy, I think there's a chance to hit like 260, 270, 275 in the majors with a good OBP. So if you're in those leagues, I think he has a nice little uptick in value in OBP formats. Could be a high OBP guy. He's always been a high walk rate guy. And this is above average runner too. He's a good athlete, very good athlete. One of the better athletes at this catcher position at any level, including the majors. So didn't steal a lot of bags this past year, only 7 steals. But he's had some 30. He had a 30-plus season the year before that. So I think you can definitely see double-digit speed from him, maybe in 15 to 20. I want to see how much he decides to run the upcoming year. As we all know, speed isn't everything when it goes to, you know, stealing bags. Obviously, it's a good contributing factor, but you know, you have to have that willingness to run. We've seen plus-speed guys not steal a lot, and we've seen below-average speed guys steal a ton. So look at Juan Soto, Josh Naylor. So it just shows that there are many paths to providing value in the stolen base column. But, you know, Ford being a good athlete who has shown the willingness to run in the past, not so much as last year, want to see if that kind of bounces back. So very fantasy-friendly profile here from Harry Ford, and now he has a chance to really show that in a, you know, bigger capacity with the Nationals this year. All right, I'm not going to go, like, super deep on every prospect here. But I want to give my 11 through 20. I have a breakout pick, as you remember from previous years. You know, Clegg and I always did a breakout pick for, you know, the prospect episodes during this ranking series. So I got one of those to close out the show. And I'll hit on a couple other names here, some of the more intriguing names. So again, 10 and 11 was Marco Dingis and Jefferson Cairo. Then 12 is Chris Suero from the Mets, who's another good athlete too. He, you know, he's one, you know, potential breakout pick there too. Not my breakout pick for this episode, but if I had to pick a second breakout, I'd go with Suero. You know, he's played some catcher, some corner infield, some outfield. Really good athlete, really strong frame. Can do a little bit of everything. You know, this past year, and I saw him out in the Arizona Fall League as well, and he had a good fall league showing, but really good minor league showing, you know, this year as well. Though the overall stats might not indicate that. Now, I think it was a solid year overall. You know, he had only 233. That was kind of like the low point, and the reason why, you know, I think the perceived value for him hasn't blown up yet. But he had 16 home runs. He had 35 steals in 115 games. This is between high A and double A. Had a 14.7% walk rate, you know, but the concern right now is that he had a 30.5% strikeout rate in double A, 29.3% in high A. He is very, very pull happy, almost to a point where it's too pull happy. He had a 55% pull rate this year and 57% pull rate in double A. You know, that is actually, and we talk about, you know, good batted ball angles. But sometimes I think it goes too far, and I think that might be a little too far to the pull end of the spectrum. But you know, we'll see if that, you know, can be kind of corrected moving forward. Though he's been super high pull every year of his career. I think the lowest pull rate at any level was high A in 2024, 53.7%. So we'll see. He's always been very pull happy, but does hit the ball in the air a good bit. You know, as I mentioned, a really good athlete, but contact rates, you know, have been not the greatest. It was around 67-68% this past year with that higher K rate, but a lot of good in the profile as well. You know, some kind of a mixed bag, but plenty of exciting tools as well. So I think Suero could be a decent riser in 2026. He's my number 12 catching prospect. We got Cooper Engel in the 13 spot, Jimmy Crooks in the 14 spot, 15 is Rafael Flores, 16, Daniel Suzak, 17, Joe Mack, 18, Ramon Ramirez, 19, Luke Stevenson, and 20, Leonardo Bernal. A lot of St. Louis guys here. St. Louis always has, you know, plenty of, you know, good catchers in their system. I think that's an area have seemed to really focus on, you know, over the last several years, especially, obviously, you know, Ivan Herrera was another one. He was up in the major leagues, and Bernal should be up soon. Crooks debuted in 2025. He's a little bit older at 24. You know, but, you know, there's a couple of names I wanted to touch on kind of briefly here before I get my breakout pick. You're probably wondering, hey, where is Ethan Salas? He is 21, and that's legit. You see my rankings. That is legit. He's seven spots in my overall behind Bernal, you know, but 21 here. I've never been super high on Salas. I mean, he might actually even be a decent buy at this point. I'm just not sure what the impact is going to look like. You know, how much does he impact the ball? How much power is there long term? I mean, I think it's, you know, it's decent contact, you know, good advanced approach for his age. And obviously, he's a very good defensive catcher for his age, too. So, still a lot of good in the profile. Missed nearly an entire year this past year. And again, like the reason why I just didn't have him ranked super high, I mean, even back then, I think the value for him was as high as it was partially on, you know, just him getting pushed to double A's as a 17-year-old. So that we just had never seen before, really. So I don't know. I don't think that highly of the all-round upside. Again, he's always shown that he can walk at a decent clip. I just don't know if the power is super impactful, but even if it's only 10 to 12 home runs, you know, I think there's going to be a good average there, a decent OBP, and he's a good defensive catcher, so that'll keep him in the lineup. But yeah, that perceived value went way too high. I mean, he was being ranked top 10, top 20 overall. I was just never there. He's still only 19, which is crazy. He won't even be 20 until, you know, damn near midseason, 1st of June. Salas turns 20, still very young, even though it feels like he's been around forever. But at this point, he might even be a decent value buy with how low the perceived value has gone. And again, I'm not saying, oh, run out and get Ethan Salas, because I don't think the long-term upside, I'm not like super excited about it. But I do think there's a potential decent ball player here, but one that is more valuable in real life than fantasy. But he's 21 and just missed this top 20. But to close out the show, my breakout pick, you know, all the breakout picks are outside of the top 10. So I'm not going to pick like my guy that's ranked like Duno, if he'll go from sixth to second in my rankings. I don't think that truly encapsulates a breakout. You know, I feel like he's already kind of broken out. But, you know, a guy that I didn't rank terribly high in the beginning part of my FIPD ranking process this past spring, but just liked a bit more and more every time I looked at him. You know, Luke Stevenson, you know, of the Seattle Mariners, you know, maybe, you know, it's because I'm a North Carolina guy. I mean, no more so for, you know, college baseball, I do root for North Carolina, but it's not like as super passionate as I am about North Carolina Tar Heels college basketball. Primarily, for actually rooting for a team, I do that for basketball. You know, baseball, I mean, I'll root for them, but I more so just watch for the game and watch for, you know, the talent and watching players. I don't really, you know, if they lose, I don't really get too bent out of shape about it. But I do watch probably more North Carolina games than any other college. That's why I've been high on some of their guys in the past. And you know, hasn't really worked out, you know, especially like Horvath and Vance Honeycutt. They didn't really pan out so far. But Luke Stevenson is a guy I really like. He is a good defensive catcher, potentially gold glove caliber defensive catcher down the road. Good arm, good fielder, high IQ, like everything you want from your future catcher. And maybe this is the guy that eventually kind of forces Cal Raleigh to slide into a DH role down the road, or, you know, at least, you know, partially into a DH role, because Stevenson is a really good defensive catcher with pretty good power upside too. You know, this is the above average to plus power bat, guy that showed a pretty good approach in his collegiate career at North Carolina. And the contact skills, you know, they were not, I mean, he's not a contact guy, so to speak. I mean, not terrible contact by any means, but I think many would consider him definitely power over hit, but I don't think it's going to be terrible contact. I think you look at the 251 average from last year at UNC, you know, that's not great, but he did walk a ton, 20.3%, you know, 24.1% strikeout rate. You know, in his brief cup of coffee after the draft, which is only 75 at bats, 100 plate appearances, it was a 78% contact rate. You can't really take too much from that. And he was 21 in low A, so not a lot you could take from that, but I don't think it's going to be like a low average. Probably won't be a high average, but I do think he could hit like 250, 260, which, you know, in this day and age, especially a catcher, is still decent. I think he's right around kind of middle of the road in terms of contact abilities, and a guy that, again, if you're in the OBP format, I think there's more value there because he's always been a super high walk rate guy. It was 17.8% in 2024 at UNC, 20.3% last spring in UNC, and in that brief cup of coffee after the draft, 23%, with only a 19% K rate, slash 280, 460, 400. So above average plus power, you know, an elite walk rate guy, and I think the contact skills will be fine. I don't think they're going to be a detriment to his value. I don't think they'll be, you know, below 70% or anything like that. So I think you can see a nice uptick in value, a big jump in rankings, maybe even to, you know, like back end top 100 status. Like, I don't think it'll be to elite catcher prospect rankings, you know, territory, but I can see him being, you know, like a top 10 catching prospect and back end top 100 overall. So Luke Stevenson from the Mariners is my breakout pick for the catcher position. And to recap my top 20, 1 through 5, Sammy Basayo, Josue Briseño, Rainy Rodriguez, Carter Jensen, Moises Ballesteros. 6 through 10, Alfredo Duno, Ike Irish, Eduardo Tait, Harry Ford, Marco Dinges. 11 through 15, Jefferson Cairo, Chris Suero, Cooper Engel, Jimmy Crooks, and Rafael Flores. And 16 through 20, Daniel Suzak, Joe Mack, Ramon Ramirez, Luke Stevenson, and Leonardo Bernal, with Ethan Salas in that 21 spot. That'll wrap up the catcher prospect episode. I have Catcher Dynasty coming up on Friday with a great guest. But until then, everyone take care.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.